morning, church. My name is Rachel Hall. I might be a new face for some of you. I've been the ministry assistant here at Risen for the past year, and it is my honor today to get to culminate that internship and sharing with you this morning. As many of you know, we're in the middle of a series on the Ten Commandments. So far, Trevor has preached on three of those commandments, so we're on the fourth commandment this morning. Just a little recap for you. The first commandment was to have no false gods, to keep God in his rightful place as Lord over our lives and to worship him as such. The second commandment was to not love God falsely, to worship him as he is, not as maybe the image of him we've created in our minds. And then last week, we talked about the third commandment, which was to keep God's name as set apart as something that is holy. So if you missed any of those three sermons, you can find them on the Risen Church podcast. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to those if you missed them. Today we're going to be talking about the fourth commandment, which is about how we honor the Sabbath, how we keep the day as holy. I think that maybe Trevor and Kent and Tim just wanted to take the Sabbath off themselves. That's why they assigned this one for me today. So we're going to be taking a look at a few things. This slide may look familiar. I stole my outline from Trevor. It is, what is the commandment? How do we disobey it? And what hope do we have in light of it? Trevor mentioned a few weeks ago that if you're looking at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are primarily about how we love and honor God. The next six commandments are about how we begin to love our neighbors. The fourth commandment is sort of a transition between those two. It is primarily about how we do love and honor God, but it begins to spill over into how we love our neighbors as well. Remember that these Ten Commandments are given to the nation of Israel as they are have just been rescued out of Egypt. They're wandering in the desert. And God calls Moses up to Mount Sinai to give him these Ten Commands that he sees fit for the nation of Israel. He sees, hey, these are 10 things that these people really need to know what it means to be the kind of people that God himself intends for them to be. So it's important to remember that these commands are not really a way of God controlling his people. They're just boundaries that he gives us in order to thrive in both our relationship with him and in our relationship with others. Every command God gives is for our benefit, so I can't wait to take a look at what he has for us today. Exodus 20 says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So he's delivered them first, before he gives them any commands to follow. God always delivers us before he expects anything out of us. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son nor daughter, nor your male nor female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What is the Sabbath? Very simply, it is a day to set apart to, one, worship God, and two, to rest from our work. Remember that the Sabbath day, by keeping it holy. The word Sabbath literally means to stop. It is our stopping day. It is a day when we sort of pause our regular rhythms of life and turn and focus our attention on God. There are many religions that actually recognize places as holy. Even Jerusalem sort of has that significance as a place of holiness for us. But what's unique here is that not only do we have places that are holy, but that God has given us a time that is holy as well. Time is, as I'm sure you're aware, one of our most valuable commodities. So there's an element of sacrifice here. The Sabbath is for our good, but it also is a sacrifice of our time to God. Now, God's not saying that work is bad. He actually commands us to work. Verse 9 says that 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. We see in Genesis that God worked as he set up all of creation. Work is not inherently bad. It's actually inherently good. Kind of surprising. There was a work that Adam did when he was in the Garden of Eden, and there is a work that is still good for us to do throughout our weeks as well. So we'll be taking a look at that this morning. In verse 10, he says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor daughter, nor your male, nor female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Who is the Sabbath for? Everyone. The Sabbath is something each of us needs. We humans get stressed and overwhelmed and tired. We all need rest. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Here we see something interesting. This is the only commandment that is actually grounded in creation. It precedes the fall, the time where we mark sin entering the world. So there were 6 days of God setting into being everything that we would ever know or feel or experience or understand in the entirety of our lives. 6 days of God doing work that he delighted in, work that was good and needed and satisfying, and then rest. Our call to rest is not a response to work that is bad. It's just the rhythm of life which God himself participated in from the beginning and invites us to enter into with him as well. So I'm not implying here that God got tired and so he had to rest, but I think he knew that we would get tired and that we did need to rest. In fact, if God has actually designed good work for us to do, then keeping the Sabbath is a part of us being able to do that work well. We rest from our work, for our work, in order to do the sort of caliber of work that God has actually intended. Amen. Now, you might be hearing this and thinking to yourself, didn't Sabbath make more sense for the Israelites than it does for us today? I mean, sure, that's great. They were wandering in the desert. They didn't have a whole lot else to do. But now we've got email in our pocket, right? We've got kids with 27 activities that we have to manage and keep track of. It's just not very practical to give up that much time with that much regularity. It feels very counterintuitive. And you're right, it does feel counterintuitive. Perhaps God knew that. Perhaps he knew that unless he actually explicitly told us to rest, we wouldn't do it. But the fact that it's in the Ten Commandments means, hey, there is something here that we really need to pay attention to. Some of you may have even forgotten that keeping the Sabbath holy was one of the Ten Commandments. If I were to ask you before the sermon to sort of name as many of the Ten Commandments that you could think of off the top of your head, chances are you would probably think of some of the ones we consider the big ones. You know, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't have any idols. You know, those might be some of the first ones that came to your mind, but you might have forgotten that Sabbath was even on there. It's just, it's not something that we think about very often. It's not something we talk about regularly. You may not also remember that this was not just something for people in the Old Testament to practice, but it was something that Jesus really thought was still important as well. And if he thought that it was important, then we can trust it's something that we need ourselves today. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus and his disciples are walking on the Sabbath. They're hungry. They're walking through a grain field, and they start picking some stalks of wheat. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, were really upset about this because they were breaking two of the commands that were really central in the Old Testament to be kept on the Sabbath day. Two of those laws, which were no harvesting and no traveling. So they get really upset with Jesus, and they begin to question him about this choice of how he's keeping the Sabbath. And this is how he responds to him in verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, there were a lot of laws around exactly how the Sabbath was to be kept. So Jesus sees this as an opportunity to set himself up as Lord over those laws. So there is a sense of him fulfilling the way that the Sabbath used to be practiced. But notice that he doesn't say the Sabbath is unimportant, or that we don't have to practice it anymore. He says we're no longer bound to it in the same way that we had been used to practicing it, but it's still something that's for us. It's still for our good. I don't know about you. I am not always the most balanced person. I like the idea of being balanced and having a regular rhythm of life. I'm not great at it. I like to take January 1st as an opportunity to try and correct this. Anybody else? A goal setter? Yeah. So come January 1st, I make my list of things that I want to improve in my life, right? Things that I want to say yes to. I've usually got some career goals, a couple health goals, maybe some fun goals like take more walks than I used to or read more books this year. But this list is usually lacking in one area, in that it is a list of more things to do, not a list of things not to do. Anybody ever make a not to do list? Okay, so I actually recently bought a planner that prompted me to do this, and it was very interesting. The idea was that in making a list of things that you're going to intentionally say no to, a not-to-do list, it actually frees up your schedule to say yes to the things that are most important. So the Sabbath, if we think about it in this way, is our day to say no to those, some of those to-dos, to say yes to what's most important. And what is most important? Recognizing that God is God and we are not. So last Sunday, we talked about how the third commandment is about God and his name and how his name is set apart as holy. So on our Sabbath day, we set aside our time as holy to remember the God that is set apart as holy. The Sabbath is our day of freedom. It's our day when we get to say no to our inbox so we can say yes to spending time with our community. It's our day when we get to say no to staying late at the office so we can say yes to doing something restorative like going for a walk or taking a nap. It's our day when we get to pause the regular stressful rhythms of life of getting our kids up and to school and lunch was packed and picked up and on to the next activity and just say yes to restorative time together as a family, time in worship, time just enjoying one another that we might not have those other 6 days of the week. Kevin DeYoung, in his book, The Ten Commandments, phrases it like this. Let us not approach Sunday by saying, how much can I get away with? Instead, think, what blessing does God mean to give me in rest and worship on this Lord's day? If the Sabbath principle is rooted in creation, taught in the Ten Commandments, and reasserted by Jesus, maybe we ignore the day at our peril. Not because God is frowning over us every time we break a sweat on Sunday, but because he means to smile over us with the blessing of worship and rest. After all, God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. So what exactly can we do on the Sabbath? There's freedom here. Aside from resting from your work and spending time rejoicing in and worshiping God, this is a day for you. It's a day for your good. What fills you with energy? What restorative activities has God made you to enjoy that maybe you don't have time to do the other 6 days of the week? What helps you point your focus back to God? Do more of that. Rest doesn't necessarily mean laziness, right? You don't have to just sit on your couch and do nothing all day, although you could. The Sabbath is a day of being filled back up so that you're ready to take on whatever the week has to offer. If you don't know what resting actually looks like for you, if you've maybe just been so busy, you've never actually taken time to stop and think about what real restorative rest is for your life, now would be a good time to begin thinking about that. For many of us, rest is something we like the concept of. It's, in theory, it's a nice idea. But it turns out when you put it to practice, it actually is hard. It's pretty difficult. It requires some planning in the way we structure the other 6 days of our week in order to make time for it. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if I live like a hurricane for 6 days, it's really hard for me to totally just slow down and actually enjoy a day of rest just like that. So maybe there's some intentionality here. Maybe it means moving some of our errands that we are used to practicing on Sunday to Saturday instead. Maybe being able to do that means saying no to some things throughout the week so we actually have that margin to do so. It's so worth the intentionality it takes to practice this commandment. This is why. When we practice the Sabbath now, it's a taste, it's a foreshadowing of that eternal rest we're one day going to get to experience together in heaven. Hebrews 4 says it like this, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest also rest from their own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Now we rest in part, then we will rest in full. We disobey this command though, right? It's hard. If we keep the Sabbath by using our time to rest and worship God, it's pretty clear the opposite of that. We break the Sabbath command by not keeping God in his proper place as Lord over our time. We do this in a couple of ways. We do this a couple ways of not keeping him as Lord over our time. The first is by elevating our work above its proper place. I was curious how we as Americans did with rest in general. I had a feeling it wasn't going to be great. So I looked it up, and I found out that when you're sort of looking at vacation time, 52% of Americans don't actually use all of their vacation days every year. 52%. One in four employees actually will unplug when they're on vacation. Only 25% of us will actually unplug. 80% of us are more likely to say yes to our vacation if we know we can access work while we're gone. So 80% of us want to be able to contact work while we're taking a break from work. And what is the result of this? It's not great. A Gallup study found that about two-thirds of all working employees are burnout. So two-thirds of us are burnout. And yet, we have a hard time just unplugging and letting go. Perhaps this is you this morning. Perhaps you know what this burnout feels like. Even the American dream is works-based. It's work harder than anyone, achieve anything you can dream. This is the standard to which we aspire. This is the culture in which we live in LA. Many of us are faced with this on a daily basis, a culture that tells us to dream bigger, want it more, hustle and grind. You can achieve anything you set your mind to. Just stay up later, check your emails earlier, and then balance everything on your plate and maybe take a color-corrected photo to post on Instagram to prove it. Maybe you've had a conversation with someone recently that goes something like this. Hey, so-and-so, haven't seen you in a while. How's it been? Oh, you know, busy. How about you? How have you been? Oh, you know, staying busy, right? When was the last time you had a conversation with someone and their response was, you know, I'm just so rested. I've got so much time, so much margin in my life. I've appropriately managed my commitments. I'm getting regular sleep, and then once a week, I actually just set aside an entire day just to rest and be restored. I'm just so blessed by the time in my life right now. I mean, I wish that was us, but it's just not. It's just not something we think about. We are a people who move quickly and efficiently and busily. Why? Because we often tie our sense of worth to our output. More productivity, more value. More accomplishments, the more worthy we are of other people's admiration. Some of us may even like the idea of being able to enjoy a day of rest, but we feel like we haven't earned it. If I'd had a more productive week, then I could take the day off, but the Sabbath is a gift. It's not something you can earn. It is a command, not an option. We're tempted to say, hey, God, I know you'd like me to trust you with my time, but the thing is, I actually really enjoy my work. It's really life-giving for me, and I'm not really a personality that likes to be still for very long, so I think I'm just going to continue to do work in my own way apart from you, but by the way, if you could just bless it and all of the work that I'm doing 24/7, that would be great. Thanks. Right? I'm guilty of this. We can't work apart from God and then ask for his blessing. We think we can accomplish more through being unfaithful, through working in our rhythms, than we could through God, being faithful to God in the rhythms that he has given us of rest. Keeping the Sabbath is a way of giving our work as an offering to God. We give God part of our working week to remind ourselves that God is the Lord of our work. Ecclesiastes tells us that the eye has never had its fill of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. We are chronically in pursuit of more, constantly chasing that which will give us this feeling of being wanted, fulfilled, enough. Have any of you ever taken a child trick-or-treating? Or if you're like me, babysat a kid the day after they went trick-or-treating? Here they are, they've put on their costume, they've spent hours going door to door to door, begging candy off of strangers, which sounds weird to say that out loud. They've got their little plastic pumpkin or sack that they've just filled to the brim with as much candy as their little hands can carry, and they've lugged it home and thrown it on the floor, and what do they want? Candy. And then the next day, what do they want? Candy. And then the next day, what do they want? More candy. Right? We've got this thing in us that always wants more and doesn't know when taking a break from a good thing is good for us. Work is not bad, but a misplacement of work is. When we do not know when to set a good thing aside, even a good thing will destroy us. Your work, no matter how good or helpful or life-giving it is, was not meant to be your source of worth. It was not meant to sustain your soul. Some of us have made productivity an idol in our lives by elevating it above its proper place. How do you know if this might be a struggle for you? Fill in the blank. If I could just get, fill in the blank, done, then I could obey the Sabbath. If I can just finish this project, then I could have taken a day off. If I wouldn't have gotten pulled into that extra meeting, had a sick kid home with me, had to deal with those car issues that I wasn't planning on dealing with, then I would have been able to get more done. Then I could have really just enjoyed a full day off. Some of us think that we will begin to obey this next week. Or maybe just after we get through this one crazy season, then we'll start to try out this whole Sabbath thing. Don't wait to obey, friends. Be faithful today. It's for your good. God is not ignorant of the responsibilities that are on your plate. The very reason you feel like you can't rest is the very reason God wants you to. God does not ask us to rest when we feel good about it. He asks us to rest out of an obedience to him. When we keep the Sabbath, we declare that we trust God to sustain us and keep him in his proper place as Lord of our time. When we do not rest, we declare that we trust ourselves instead. We are tired and busy and in need of restoration. God wants to give you that renewal on the Sabbath, but you've got to give him the time to do so. In Exodus 16, God actually speaks the command of the Sabbath to the Israelites through the way he's distributing their manna, this food he's giving them from heaven as they're wandering in the desert. He's told them in advance that he's going to provide for them daily, and that on the day before the Sabbath, he's going to give them twice the amount so that they can both have all that they need and be able to rest from working for what they need. Exodus 16 says it like this. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, the manna, but they found none. Surprising. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gave you bread for 2 days. God gave the Israelites only enough for what they needed each day. Every day they were literally dependent on him for their daily bread. But the Sabbath required an additional level of their trust, trusting that God would provide enough for them in advance without their striving. God has not asked you to trust him with your time, only to abandon you in your need. Some of us need to remember that this morning, that God has not asked you to trust him with your time, only to abandon you. He is faithful, and he wants you to trust him. As your provider, as a good father who sees what you need and wants to take care of you, as Lord over everything. So we break the command by elevating our work, and we break the command by minimizing worship. There's a temptation here to think, rest is really great. And while I'm not directly opposed to the idea of setting aside time to worship, I'm just really in a busy season right now. And so I think I'm just going to just really focus on the rest portion of the Sabbath and not the worship portion of the Sabbath. And so I'm just going to sleep in, I think, as part of my Sabbath. While the Sabbath is for our rest, it's possible to also reshape it into an excuse to just serve ourselves for a day. It's meant, friends, to be so much more. There is a kind of deeper soul rest that can only be experienced through worshiping God. The Sabbath is our gift, not just to rest physically, but to come together as a body, as a church, to communally worship and rest in our Savior's presence as well. The Sabbath is our time set apart to gather with our brothers and our sisters, to praise God together, to enjoy communion together, to receive teaching from the Word together. Serving together on Sunday is a part of this as well, right? It's a part of that communal worship. We're commanded in Scripture to use our gifts for the edification of the body, to serve the church. How can we do that if we don't come to church? It's the basis for how we build the type of intentional, authentic community we so desperately long for. It's not just a nice idea or something that's for the more devoted Christians. We're all busy. Remember that in looking at the way that Christ practiced the Sabbath, it was always tied to gathering at the synagogue. Jesus keeps the Sabbath holy by gathering with the people of God. And we are instructed throughout the New Testament to faithfully gather together as well. We miss out when we don't gather together. Amen. Meeting is how we set the day apart. Worshiping is how we keep the day as holy. Reminding not only ourselves, but each other that we're made for more than the work that we do. Amen. We're made to know the love of God and then to reflect that love to others. It refocuses us on God. It recalibrates our hearts to his desires for us. It fills us up to be ready to then take on the 6 days of the week that are to come. Not just as someone who's barely scraping by with the last of their time and energy, but as someone who understands that in everything that they do, they are working for the glory of God. Church is not another to-do list item. It's one of the things we make our not-to-do list for. Observing the Sabbath through worship is crucial to becoming the sort of people that God intends for us to be. What do you need to say no to in order to make time for it? In order to make time to gather with your church body on Sundays? When we keep the Sabbath as holy, not only does it affect our relationship with God, right? The renewal that we get from him, but it begins to spill over into the way that we love our neighbors as well. I want you to think for a moment of a person you know who tends to be consistently frazzled. Anybody know anybody like that? Sometimes that's me. Some of us who are busy and hurried and overworked. Some of us here, that might be us this morning. Some of us may feel like we are just one click away from totally losing it. We've just got so much on our plate that we're trying to juggle. How many of us, when we are at max capacity, our responsibilities are just overflowing, we're staying up late, we're getting up early, we're taking work home with us, we're just trying to prove ourselves constantly. How many of us, when we're sort of in that nonstop work situation, become more loving people? More patient? More kind? After working 60 hours, are you more or less patient? After working 14 days in a row, do you find yourself being a better wife, husband, parent, coworker, friend, or a worse one? When we are rested, we can be more patient with our neighbor across the hall who reports us to the landlord. When we have just spent a day worshiping God, we are more aware of the way that he is moving in the lives of the people around us. When we are physically rested and spiritually renewed, we are more able to love people the way they ought to be loved. The way that Christ loved them, sacrificially, compassionately, for their ultimate good, instead of loving them with the leftovers of our time and energy. When we keep the Sabbath, it prepares us to love our neighbors as we should. If you submit to this day of rest, if you give a day a week to worship, your dependence on God will deepen. Your love for others will deepen, and the way you approach your work will change. You will still work hard, but the outcome will weigh a little lighter on your shoulders. Your worth will not be tied to how well you do the things that you do. You will begin to look for ways to love God and people throughout your day instead of primarily focusing on yourself. This is as it should be. The ground in which our souls will flourish is not one of continual, rapid pace. We serve a God who speaks most often in quietness and in stillness, in scripture and in worship, through prayer and solitude, through community and conversation. We are a people in need of continual restoration. We are a people in need of the Sabbath. So what hope do we have? My last question to you today is this. How are you? How are you doing? Are you weary? Are you burdened? Discouraged? Do you feel like you don't quite measure up? Is there more you dream of accomplishing? Does the desire for success or approval lie heavily upon your shoulders? Have you pushed rest aside because you felt like you haven't earned it? Have you loved productivity more than you have loved time with your Savior? Have you really trusted God to be Lord of all? If you today are anxious or stressed or feel like you don't quite measure up, if you're tired or overwhelmed or needing some hope, I have really good news. Jesus knew that we would feel this way, and he came to rescue us from it all. He says to us in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Sabbath is the day we get to bring our burdens to God as a church and receive from him the kind of rest that only he can give. We are all guilty of breaking the Sabbath, but we are forgiven. Christ sees our weary hearts and gives us the rest we so desperately long for. When we rest in Christ, we say that while our work is important, it is not everything. While our work brings joy, it's not our ultimate joy. Though our work is good, it's not our ultimate good. Our security, identity, and truest hope is not found in anything that we can accomplish, any success we may achieve, any accolades we may get from our peers. The hope we have rests at the feet of the cross and the emptiness of the tomb. He has risen from the dead, and so we rest. The most important work has been accomplished, so we can be at peace despite any circumstance or deadline. In our weekly resting, we look forward to that eternal rest we are guaranteed and help others to do the same. May today be the day you lay down your work and its worries and trust in the work of the cross. May you know how deeply you are forgiven and seen and loved. May that bring you the sort of soulful rest that God has intended for your good. It has been finished. You may be at peace. May you enjoy your Sabbath blessing to the fullest today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we repent for the ways that we have used work not to serve you or others, but to try to add value to ourselves. We repent of the way that we have not allowed you to be Lord of our work, of our time, for the way that we failed to rest and worship as we should. Thank you that you came to take our burdens and set us free. Would you give us your peace and true rest today as we put our trust not in ourselves and anything we can accomplish, but in what you accomplished for us on the cross. Would you be our comfort, bring rest to our weary souls. In Jesus' name.